Welcome to our time of worship. This is First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. We welcome you to this worship service that was originally produced April 19th of last year. Session has encouraged that we give a week off to our editing and production crew. And with that, special thanks to Kim Bratz and to Deb Cooley, who have been working every Sunday for this entire year and putting a lot of time in on our productions. We come together to celebrate the gift of God's love, and we have some ways to do that in fellowship. On Sunday morning, there will be a Zoom coffee hour that'll take place at 9 o'clock, and then our education hour is at 10 o'clock, and that includes talkback. We invite everyone to participate using a link which I send out on Wednesdays and on Saturdays. If you haven't been receiving emails from me, let me know. I'll include you in the list. You can email me at revjharrison@fdlpresbyterian.org. There are a number of other activities and events happening in the life of the church, and we celebrate God's blessings that we share with one another. For now, take a moment to offer a blessing to God and thanks for the gift of God's love. And let's come together and welcome the light of Christ into our midst.
Please join us in the call to worship. Though darkness seems to envelope us, Jesus breaks through with a word of peace. Our fears are banished. Our hope is restored. Rejoice. The Lord is with us. Come and dwell in the peace of Christ this day.
Christ is risen, shout Hosanna, celebrate this day of days. Christ is risen, hush in wonder, all creation is amazed. In a desert, walls around him, see a spreading tree has grown. Lilies, Christ is risen, raise your spirits from the caverns of despair. Walk with gladness in the morning, see that love can do and dare. Drink the wine of resurrection, not a servant but a friend. Jesus is a strong companion, joy and peace shall never end. Christ is risen, earth and heaven nevermore shall be the same. Break the bread of new creation where the world is still.
Let us pray. Stand among us again, risen Christ, and bless us with the greeting, peace be with you. Stand near us and share with us the hope of salvation that is ours through your resurrection from the dead. Restore our confidence in your constant love and presence that will enable us to overcome the trials that we face. Be with us now, we ask, in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Join us in our prayer of confession. Jesus, our risen Lord, we listen to the news, read the newspapers, and wonder if peace will ever reign in your world, Lord. Today, we have been invited to be with the disciples in that hidden place, where they also wondered about peace and hope. You broke through. You shattered the darkness, and they were astonished again. Help us to understand that you will bring peace to each one of us. Forgive all those times when we treat this moment of revelation as though it was impossible. Forgive us the courage to reach out to you and touch our hearts once again. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's take a moment for our own silent confession. Open our hearts and ears. We are loved, forgiven, and chosen to be called disciples. We will claim the peace of Christ as God's beloved children. Amen. Our first scripture lesson today comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now, for a little while, you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that through perishable and tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Hello, my name is Hayden Tallman, and today I'm going to play Ode to Joy for you.
Our scripture comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. This passage is familiar, and we use this very frequently on the second Sunday of Easter. This passage is picking up from when Mary Magdalene has announced to the disciples that she has seen the risen Lord Jesus. Now we come to that same evening later, when Jesus appears to the disciples. So from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again,
"Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing that you might have life in his name. May the Lord bless us and teach us through the gift of the word. Please join me in prayer. Jesus, our risen Savior, speak to us again your words of peace so that we might know the power and security of your love. Free us from dwelling in places of anxiousness and fear, blame and bitterness, so that we might come into your kingdom of wholeness and freedom, and shift us from worrying about the things that we cannot control or change to embracing the joy of the eternal life in which we live through your death and resurrection. Open our hearts and our minds to your word, we pray, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. This is the second Sunday of Easter, and those who have been part of our congregation know that we tend to group themes over a course of Sundays to put together a building of a thought and a focus on developing in some area of our growth and our perception of Christ's love. But that isn't new. We didn't originate that. The liturgical year was developed very early in the life of the church, and particularly the seasons of Advent, Epiphany, Lent, Easter. This is the period of Easter, and Easter runs from Easter Sunday to 50 days later, which is Pentecost. But that didn't actually originate with the church. It began long before that in the life of the early Hebrew people. You see, Passover was the event of liberation of the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt. By God's power and by the miracle of God's intervention, the slaves became free people and entered into the desert. 50 days later is the recognition of the date on which the law of God was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, and that's Pentecost. And this period between the liberation and the covenant is a period of moving into the understanding of God's relationship, God's blessing. That's kind of appropriate for us at this point. During our safer at home period, reducing our activities and being confined and separated from each other, we are in between. We are separated, but not alone. We are away from each other, but we are more together in some respects now than when we have been engulfed in all of our activities and things to do. We're in a place of transition, and that fits very well with both the theme of the Hebrew people and the early church. The disciples experienced the resurrection of Jesus multiple times. It wasn't just a one-time encounter. Jesus didn't just appear once to the disciples. It was over a period, a course of visits and conversations. Jesus led the disciples from the place of fear and uncertainty, anxiousness and worry, into a place where in Pentecost, they are proclaiming the resurrection to all of the city of Jerusalem. So this kind of fits with our experience as well. We're in a time in which we're being invited to move from dwelling in our fear and uncertainty, and especially in the woundedness that we feel right now, to moving into a place where we see the victory of God's grace, God's power, and God's love. In the gospel lesson for today, it's important that Jesus' appearance comes in the midst of a locked door, a emphatic message that there was insecurity and fear that was driving the disciples' behavior. They had locked and barred the doors and were meeting in secret because of their fear of the violence of the Romans, the uncertainty of what the religious leaders might do to them. They were living out their nature as people who were victims, uncertain of what the future would bring. And into the middle of this, Jesus suddenly appears, and the first words that he speaks are, "Peace be with you." This wasn't just a routine greeting or a way of starting the conversation. It was Jesus' intention and wish for the disciples right at that time, right in that moment, that they not be in fear, that they not be overwhelmed, but that they be at peace, and that his resurrection would bring them that peace. Jesus appears to them and begins to reveal to them the word of God and the gift of God's love. And it says that he repeated the words again, "Peace be with you," and then imparted to them the Holy Spirit. Breath and spirit are the same word. And so this phrasing of breathing out upon them, that his spirit expelled to their spirit and filled them so that they would have wisdom to be able to know how to deal with sin and brokenness in the world around them. This is the first of the two appearances in our passage. The second time, we have the story of poor Thomas. Thomas, who we start to call Doubting Thomas, sadly enough. And so often that doubt is seen negatively. But there's nothing punitive in Jesus' words or actions towards Thomas. Quite the opposite. Thomas has said what it is he needs to believe, and Jesus responds, seeking to fill Thomas's needs. There is an element here that no one who seeks God will be disappointed. All who open themselves to hearing and knowing God's presence, God will reach out to them. And the thing about this is that Thomas has missed the gathering before. He has had the disciples announce to him, much the same way that Mary had announced to them, they had seen the risen Lord. But that wasn't enough for Thomas. And we can understand that. Thomas had seen the crucifixion. He had seen the beating. He had seen the betrayal, the mockery of the trial, the grief, and the placing of Jesus' body in the tomb. He had seen too much to be able to just believe in what the disciples would tell him. And let's face it, we kind of know what the disciples were like. Peter, who denied Jesus on three occasions, was frequently a little hard to be able to trust, to be consistent. The other disciples had run away, and one of the disciples, Judas, had been the betrayer. For Thomas to believe what somebody was saying was not enough, and that makes some sense. You've seen this before. Years ago, I had a gentleman who came to me for counseling, and he had previously lost an adolescent son to cancer. It was an extremely harsh and terrible loss for him to have sustained. And people had tried to assist him with moving forward, to moving out of the pit of grief that he was truly feeling. And in the midst of this, he had a dream. And that's what he wanted to talk with me about. It was one of the "Am I going crazy?" type conversations that pastors often have with individuals. He related to me the dream. In the dream, his son appeared to him and was telling his father that he had moved on and it was time for his father to move on. And I asked, how did that dream make you feel? His father said, well, the first time it was disturbing, but it's been happening multiple nights in a week. And I said, well, what do you say to your son? And he hadn't thought about talking to his son in the dream. And he decided that he would say to his son, okay, I will try and move on. Which, when I talked to this man later, he said, well, he had the dream. And before he had the chance to say it, his son already knew that he was planning to move on. And he understood right at that moment that that was going to be the last time he would have that dream, that his son was in a place where he was secure and free and rejoicing, and he wanted his father to share the same thing. No person telling this man that his son was okay was going to be able to do it. He needed to experience his son's wholeness and freedom. And in that same way, the disciples telling Thomas, we have seen the Lord, we have encountered the resurrection, wasn't enough. He needed to experience the resurrection himself. I always picture the disciples looking at Thomas and saying, so, how was your niece's piano recital last week? Boy, that was bad timing. But Thomas comes into the upper room again, and again, the room is locked. There's not as much emphasis in John's writing of the barring of the doors and the securing of the windows, but it's still insecurity that's being shared. There's still this sense of being afraid. And Jesus appears again in the midst of this and says, peace be with you. And he turns to Thomas and he invites Thomas to do the very thing that Thomas has said that he's going to need. But the miracle of the resurrection was the experience that he was having right at that time. And Thomas affirms him as my Lord and my God, the raised and resurrected Christ in front of him. There's this power in experience. There's this power in the reassurance that God promises for us. And this power transforms our wounds. It changes our fears. It unlocks us from the point of being imprisoned in our own hostility and fear. And this is the gift that resurrection power has, of transforming scars from being a place of loss and destruction, of being signs of being victims, into becoming our source of strength, our identity of God's victory. The scars are not removed from Jesus, and there is this element in which Jesus is showing us his scars and inviting us to share with Jesus our scars so that we might be able to move beyond the places where we are stuck, where we are unable to experience God's love. It is the same thing that we have in the gift of the words from Peter. Peter was writing to people who were displaced from Jerusalem after the destruction of the city, people who had been moved into a range of locations in Asia Minor as refugees. It was also to family members who had previously located in those areas that were very often hosting the distant relations who had come to find refuge in the homes that had already been established in Asia Minor. And the people are struggling. They carried such a tremendous amount of grief and loss. These families who had been established in the city of Jerusalem, who had shared in the worship at the temple, these people who were accustomed to generations having existed in one place, now suddenly being displaced themselves, uprooted and unable to take part in the things that had been meaningful to them. And Peter writes to the people this promise that the scars that they have, the wounds that they are experiencing, the suffering that they know now, is going to become for them a source of strength. It's going to purify their faith like purified gold. This is the gift that these times, these challenges that we face, give to us. If we will turn our eyes towards Christ and focus on the gift of God's love, if we'll live in the resurrection, the suffering and the challenges, the wounds and the difficulties are transformed. There is an element in this that we have an awareness of the crucifixion. We gaze upon the death, the scars, the loss, but we dwell in the resurrection. We are people who live in eternal life at this time. And we take the wounds, the sorrows, the alienation, the fear, the times in which we suffer, and we give them to God, and God transforms them into an eternity of strength, of peace, of life everlasting. We are people of the crucifixion in that we do acknowledge that sorrow and suffering happen, and they have happened greatly in the world around us. We have seen so much suffering in these past weeks. We're particularly aware of the suffering of so many friends, neighbors, and others who are financially in very difficult and fearful places right now. We are sensitive to the uncertainty of families who have loved ones in nursing facilities and in other places where we worry about the well-being of people who are precious to us. In all these places, we do recognize the crucifixion does happen. There is loss. There is pain. We don't discount that. We don't turn away from it. But we focus on the resurrection. We allow Jesus to appear to us and to show us the scars that enable our scars to be demonstrated to be victories of God's love and grace over the sorrow and suffering that we've encountered. Our faith is purified. Our relationship with God is deepened. We become so much stronger. We're on a journey. In the Passover to the Pentecost, it was the journey from liberation to covenant, from being released to being in a relationship that creates the community with God and with one another. In this time of the coronavirus, we're in a time of internal, moving from being enslaved because we've been broken from the patterns and relationships we've had, to needing to be open to whatever God will lead us to do and be. From that into a place where we are going to be restored and much stronger in our love and community for one another. God is leading us into a much holier place. The scars that we have are real, but it is the power of the resurrection to transform them into signs of God's victory and healing and transforming love. Please join me in prayer. Holy and loving Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we struggle with the challenges of moving on from the crucifixion, from the loss and the pain, the fears and the anxiety that we experience. We've dealt with our wounds for so long, we're not sure who we are without them. And we feel justified and even empowered by our hurts and fears. We feel like we have the right to even lash out and our own judgment be validated. But you have a bigger world to share with us, O Lord, a greater purpose, a life that is full of life and peace. Teach us to look upon the crucifixion, but to live in the resurrection. Teach us to allow you to transform our suffering and our injuries into signs of your victory and healing love. Enable us to be defined by the resurrection rather than by death, fear, or our own egos. We lift before you all of the people who are suffering at this time. We lift before you the fears and anxieties that so many feel. We lift especially the people who are healthcare workers, who are putting themselves in a position of caring for others, but at risk to themselves. We pray for all of the people who are continuing to make it possible for us to live and eat and to have our lives continue well. We pray especially for those who are fearful that they may become infected. We particularly lift up in prayer the people who have lost loved ones, people who are struggling with illness themselves. We pray for all of the families and especially for the children. Enable us to be people who live in the resurrection while at the same time noticing and seeing the suffering and the pain, the anxiety and the fear that's around us. But let us be people who move from locked spaces into the liberation of your love and compassion for one another.
In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
And ye will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hands. You who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hands. For to his angels he's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand.
Now draw us together as your disciples and enable us to pray in unison the words you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
To thy bitter, oh no.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and in life everlasting. This has been a worship service from First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We hope to have you join us at our facilities, 1225 4th Street in Fond du Lac, after the time of our separation because of the coronavirus is over. And again, if you'd like to reach out to us, our website is www.fdlpresbyterian.org. And you can reach me at revjharrison@fdlpresbyterian.org. God bless you, and thank you for joining with us for worship.